They can take our bones and bury them deep under the river, but we'll still be together, and we cannot be defeated. They can take our trombones.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, the inaugural episode. I'm not sure if I actually said that word correctly, but hey, bucket.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, obviously it doesn't. You've stumbled across our podcast. It's a horror, well, not necessarily a movie review, just horror in general. We'll be doing video games, movies, hell, even some shitty bands.
Shit that scares you.
That's supposed to scare you, I guess.
Supposed to.
This is our first episode, as I just mentioned. My name's Jorge. My cohort over here.
Matt, all in the reflexes, Smith. I like that, huh?
What does that even mean?
It's all in the reflexes, buddy.
Okay, alright, well.
If you don't know, now you know.
Okay, fantastic. So, we're going to be discussing, I guess, one movie for our first show. Just give us a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Content?
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Well, you know, we should preface the episode by saying that we're going to be drinking through the whole episode.
We are probably.
And we're starting off with Dark and Stormies.
Coincidentally so. Enough.
Yeah. How's that for spooky?
Oh.
Yeah. So, The Battery.
The Battery. The movie that we'll be discussing.
Yeah. It was written, directed, and produced by Jeremy Gardner, who plays Beardy Ben in the movie.
Oh, a.k.a. Matt Smith.
Yeah, that's that'd be me.
Sorry, yeah, we'll keep going.
You're the one with the fierce beard, man. Mine's in training right
that's
now.
That's true.
But the movie was made over 2 weeks by a crew of six for just about $6,000. Yeah, right? Ridiculous. And they said most of it was spent on food and lodging anyways. I figure if you're going to be in a zombie movie, you might as well just rough it and not stay in
anywhere
that's going to cost you money. And not eat.
Yeah.
So, it's won a ton of awards, like Audience, Best Film, Best Zombie Apocalypse Award, just tons and tons and tons and tons.
Did we figure out where it was actually filmed?
I did. It takes place in New England somewhere.
Also, I was way wrong when I said Canada.
No. Well, it takes place in New England, but it's shot in upstate Connecticut in a town called Kent in an abandoned, overgrown Girl Scout camp.
Really?
Just funny, because Mickey was kind of like a Girl Scout anyways, so.
And kind of creepy, too.
Yeah, you know. The first thing I thought, like, the opening shot of the movie was, what the fuck happened to Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Like, no.
I mean, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, Joseph. I'm very sorry. And then he kind of went on to look like homeboy that played Parker Lewis, Can't Lose. I don't remember his name, but it looked like Parker Lewis after that David Faustino show.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, and his facial hair was a little bit...
John Leguizamo?
A little bit sad. So this came out on VOD, last Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken, it was?
I think so. That sounds about right.
It's on video on demand. You can pick it up for, what, $4 if you're good to go?
$4 for a $3 rental on Amazon,
and I think on iTunes, a three-day rental. And
three
I think
day.
On iTunes it's still $10, so probably go Amazon.
You can buy it on Amazon, too. I would definitely recommend buying this. Don't even rent it. Just buy it.
Yeah, give them a little bit of money.
I shouldn't just, like, blow my load at the beginning and just tell him buy it right away. I should have, you know, teased him a little bit, right?
Judgment is going to be left aside for just a little bit. So
right.
All right. So let's give a little bit of a synopsis. What did we basically see in this movie? We had essentially two guys,
baseball players.
Baseball players. Now, were they pro baseball players?
You know, I don't know if they ever really said. They said that. Ben, the beardy, was the catcher, and he was a starting catcher, and Mickey, the one-pitch bitch, was in the bullpen. So I don't think they really say the level of professionality they had when they played, but they just know that they played together.
So they may have been pro, but just not very good.
They could have been like a double A or a minor league team, but I don't really think it matters at the point. And before we go any further on that, for those of you wondering, the title, The Battery, actually describes the relationship between a pitcher and a catcher. It's
really?
A baseball term. It does. I looked it up. Right? Because I thought at the beginning, you know, he's putting the batteries in his Walkman, he throws the one, and I thought, like, oh, okay, he's going to throw
gonna
that, and it's going to hit a zombie or some shit. And, like, luckily, they didn't go as cheesy and stupid as that. They actually thought about what they were doing most of the time.
Got it.
So, but yeah, that really explains that there.
Was that a wise title choice, you think? People that don't give a shit about
I mean, they were baseball players, so I mean, other than that, there's no real relevance. But they do explain it, or no, they don't explain it. You know,
no,
they,
he just said
they say, you know,
we're a team.
He said the battery. Yeah, yeah, we're a team, the battery. So, I mean, if you look it up, yeah. But I think if they were going to do that, they might have taken the opportunity to explain it a little bit more.
I think it's important to state right off the bat that I actually don't think this is a horror movie.
I think it's more of like a post-apocalyptic survival drama.
Well, yeah, and I think you saying drama is exactly correct, because, you know, I wouldn't say at any point, given a couple jump scares, that it was actually a scary movie.
No, no.
But, you know, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. I really liked the film.
I did too.
I really liked it, and I thought it was really well done. Ben? Is the main character? Ben.
Yeah, Ben.
Ben's acting
Beardy Ben.
Was fucking incredible.
Yeah.
I couldn't really say anything wrong, bad about his acting. Mickey was a little bit of hit and miss for me. But
and he's
overall,
the one that has like a bachelor of acting or something. He has a bachelor's in acting or
maybe
something.
I just hated him in the movie and I still want
to
hate him.
You know, it's just you're so used to seeing John Leguizamo be in horrible movies that you expect. You know, this could have been The Pest too. Zombies could be pests.
The Pest too.
You know, and saying that it was like a drama, you know, I feel like they kind of did what The Walking Dead tend to do, where it's not so much putting the zombies in the forefront. The zombies are more of an afterthought, and it's
right.
More the human drama, you know, the developmental things of the human struggle, going through all this shit that you have to filter through and how to deal with it and moving on. And you see that as like a really predominant theme throughout the movie. And the fact that the cast is just basically, you know, less than six people.
Yeah.
Makes it feel really minimalist, like less is more, and it seems like that would be more what it would be like in a zombie apocalypse. You wouldn't see many people.
Right, right, right.
You know, not like you're finding hordes of people everywhere.
Well, I think it would, well, we should backtrack just a touch.
Okay.
Essentially, the film is two guys just slogging it out in a post-zombie world. It looks like they've foraged pretty well. I mean, they have a good amount of food.
They have backpacks full
of
stuff.
They have backpacks full of food, and they look fairly equipped, you know, as a two-person team to handle what's going on.
To be fair, though, if you look through the movie at how much they smoke, those backpacks are probably just full of cigarettes.
Just full of cigarettes.
There's nothing but cigarettes in those backpacks.
Yeah. Well, and I liked how encapsulated the movie was. Like, you didn't see them traveling like miles and miles and miles. I think they were literally going maybe like a 10-mile stretch during
well,
the whole movie.
Well, they drove
until they got
for
the car.
Quite, yeah, until they got the car. But there was long periods of time where they were just kind of not really doing much of anything that made it feel like they were traveling a long distance. Like the opening scene, you know, it shows Mickey sitting on the steps of this old house and he's just smoking a cigarette, listening to his headphones, and just kind of waiting, doing nothing for, you know, like 4 minutes. And finally he gets up and he kind of looks in the door of the house and Beardy Ben comes.
Beardy Ben.
You know, he's like, go, and he shoots, and he shoots inside the house and runs out, and they grab their shit and they
You don't
take
actually
off.
See a zombie at that point, do you?
You don't.
You just, yeah.
He just blind fires into the house, which is really cool because it gives to that less is more feeling,
yeah.
You know? Like, you don't have to see it to understand
sure,
what's happening.
I'm sure the $6,000 budget, you know.
Dude, you could sit and shoot your friends in the face all day. Like, I'll sit and fake shoot you in the face as long as there's blanks in my gun. And you'll let me.
Will I?
Because it's going to be in a movie.
Well, I don't know. Even a blank, I'd be...
You know I'm shooting blanks anyways.
Okay.
Oh, too much information?
Hey-o.
Yeah. So, anyways. Woo! So early in the movie, you kind of get like this feel that Beardy Ben is really adapting to this this new way of life. He's getting into killing these things. He makes a statement like that he has to like start a fight or pick on every single, and they won't call them zombies for the longest time, but every
right.
single zombie they see. And Mickey is kind of just like hoping that things would go back the way that they were before. You know, he tends to withdraw into himself a lot, and he just is kind of
Bitch.
He's the one pitch bitch.
Let's talk about Mickey and his, like you were saying, his escape. So his whole bit is he lives in his headphones.
Yeah.
99% of the time.
Which are powered by his batteries.
Which are and I think it's an interesting little dynamic that they have where I don't think until what is it? We won't get that far. Okay. But I think Mickey, the dynamic is done really well where his relationship with his headphones is a lot stronger in the beginning of the movie than it is with even Ben. I think Ben is very resentful for whatever reason to that.
That he withdraws into his headphones?
Yeah.
Well, he says several times throughout the movie that Mickey basically is hiding in his headphones. He's like, dude, I'm tired of watching both of our backs.
You know?
I mean, and there's a scene where Mickey is sitting listening to his headphones. He's kind of oblivious to what's going on. And Ben is in the background trying to get Mickey to like toss him some balls and, you know. Then
he does the fake zombie thing.
Yeah, he pretends he's a zombie. And he comes up and he pulls his headphones off, and Mickey almost like shits his pants because he's a little girl and he startles easy. But I'm gonna go ahead and assume that was just like the character he was portraying, and that he's not actually
Adam isn't actually a pussy.
Yeah, he's not actually a giant bitch. So
wow.
So you know, and
there
Ben,
it is.
Ben tells him, Ben's like, dude, you know, you need to turn those down because like a zombie's gonna sneak right up on you, and it's your ass and it's my ass. You're putting me in danger, and I think that's why he's so resentful about him going into these headphones.
And Ben keeps a kill count.
He does,
which is very, very interesting because right off the bat you get to see that Ben has been doing
lots of killing.
Well, all of the killing in their team.
A random guess, he's checked off like 100 kills.
Yeah,
and Mickey has zero.
Zero at that point. And where they said what, 3 months?
Well, see, they never say how long they've been out. And that's one of the things that bugged me about the movie was they mention, we'll get to where they spent the time later, but they mentioned that they spent 3 months somewhere.
Right.
And...
Well, you're saying is we don't know if it was 3 months after...
We don't know if it's 3 months total
and then
they've been on the road, or if it was 3 months in that one place and then they've been on the road another year. So we never really know how long they've been gone. But Ben has been doing some serious slaying, and Mickey's doing nothing. And I feel like Ben really resents Mickey and looks down on it. He tries to get him to do the kill, you know. They get to a point where they find a zombie tied up in a basement somewhere. And you see Mickey with his headphones on, and he's got the gun, and he's shaking. And, you know, then he puts his head down, like, in submission. He's, like, basically saying, I can't do it. And Ben kind of says, you little bitch, give me that gun. And he shoots the zombie.
Yeah.
You know? He puts another notch in his bedpost. And he keeps, every time Mickey doesn't do a kill, if you notice, Ben kind of like emasculates him a little bit. Like he does the first kill and he's like, whatever, it's done. Go make a fire, you know. And then at a later point, he kills another zombie and he's like, go make some coffee. You know, it's like, you're my
that's
bitch
totally
assistant.
True.
You know?
Yeah, well, I mean, at that point, that's all he kind of was is... Is Ben's
he
assistant.
Was a burden.
Yeah, he was a burden, if nothing else, just eating his food and smoking his cigarettes.
But they had a lifetime supply of cigarettes, so that's irrelevant.
Yeah, well, they had a trailer following behind them.
They were apparently the heir to the Marlboro Company.
Yeah, what the fuck?
And they've just got a bunch of cowboy killers
that,
in their backpack.
And batteries. The backpack was full of cigarettes and batteries.
You know, they probably worked at, like, a sex store or something, because where else... Or maybe a 7-Eleven, but... Yeah, I'd like to think Mickey worked at a sex store.
Mickey would.
He would.
Creepy.
So, okay, so they're going through town and they're doing all this stuff. And basically, they finally get to a car. And Ben kills the guy, or kills the fat zombie that sloths out of the car.
Nah.
And they are like, oh, yeah, it starts. Let's get in the car. And they get in the car and they proceed to... Not listen to music, although you can see there's a little tape adapter in the thing.
There definitely is, yeah. It's got the wire running out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And selfish Mickey has his fucking CD player that he carries everywhere. And he doesn't want to share with Ben. Because Ben's doing the killing and Mickey's the fucking gopher.
I didn't even think about that.
They scan the radio and it's just all static and all static.
And they're like, eh, fuck it.
And I don't remember, but in my mind, I really want to believe that Ben gives Mickey this look like, hey, you motherfucker, it'd be really nice if you would plug your goddamn CD player into it. Even though Mickey listens to some of the pussiest music, dude, I have a feeling maybe he could kill a zombie or two if, like, he wasn't taking regular estrogen doses via his headphones.
Okay, okay.
Like, I feel like it's just helping him, like, become, you know, he's, like, crying when he's listening to this shit. Now, like, if he put on, like, something totally just, like, you know, some Pantera or some shit, you know, just something that's really going to make you want to fight a motherfucker.
Like, yeah, okay.
He might have stood a better chance of making it throughout whatever post-apocalyptic future was ahead of him.
A quick speaking of the music, I can't say enough about the soundtrack.
Yes.
We'll probably post a link on whatever blog or whatever website we end up putting together this.
We're definitely posting links.
The music, if you haven't seen this movie, is incredible. If you heard the intro, that's one of the better scenes in the movie is sort of based around this song. So check it out.
And I really wish I wrote down who did that song, because I honestly have not been able to incorrectly keep singing the words.
Well, like, my good man, because I'm fucking awesome, and
there's technology,
and because I take care of things, the band is called Rock Plaza Central.
Look at that! Somebody else did their
album.
Homework.
Is called Are We Not Horses? And I've never seen a horse play a guitar. And
I knew it was the anthem for the already defeated. So fuck you. That's my point.
Did you?
That's my point.
Okay, I'll give you that point. So fuck you. That's my point.
Fuck you. That's my point. Wow, we're getting sidetracked.
Yeah, so fine. We can edit that later.
We can. One thing I wanted to talk about is there's a point when they find the car and they kill, you know, the sloth. He shoots her in the face.
Yeah.
And the only weapons they have, at least that they let you know, is they have a revolver and a baseball bat. To me, you would want to save the ammo and not shoot this one lone zombie in the middle of a giant empty field in the face. You would kind of just, like, smack him in the head with the bat
and not
waste your ammo, not draw attention to other zombies.
Unless they have a third backpack with just pure ammo.
That's true. They could just have Molotov cocktails, and this could turn into Dawn of the Dead like that.
Right, right. Let's talk a little bit about the... For lack of a better word, the Walking Dead parallels in this movie.
Okay.
Because we get to a point where Mickey finds a walkie-talkie, a set of walkie-talkies.
Wait, hold on. Before we even get there, okay. So after they find the car, they're in the car, and there's a point where Mickey says, hey, remember that girl I used to see back in wherever, you know?
Oh, right, the
girl
I used to date.
They're like, okay, well, let's go, I guess. And so they go to this girl's house. And there's this really disturbing scene. I mean, I feel like it kind of helps to show just how lonely Mickey is and how much he misses his old life. But he goes into this girl's room.
Right. He goes into her little dresser.
And, yeah, and he opens the dresser, and of course there's a CD right on top of, like, the Hungry Caterpillar book.
Right.
And it's got, like, her name, and it's just one CD, not in a case, perfectly laying there, and it says, like, Laura or the chick's name on it. He puts it in, and it's more pussy music.
So my assumption was that that was a Mickey mix.
Probably. But the thing that makes it really creepy is after he puts on the Mickey mix, he takes her panties out of the drawer and he smells them. Like, and I don't mean he sniffs them. He, like, like, he gets in there.
He gets all,
like,
up in there.
He's vacuum cleaning those things.
Really, if they were in that drawer, wouldn't they have been
clean
at that point?
Yeah, so he just enjoys laundry detergent, and he's just taking a fat whiff of that. Because then, you know, he puts the panties in his pocket and he proceeds to spray her perfume and smell it. And it's like, okay, he misses her scent. And then he takes her picture, which you figure that would have been, like, the first thing he would have taken rather than
her panties.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we all need jizz rags, but, like, it's post-apocalyptic
It's becoming clear to me that Mr. Matt Smith is going to be the, I don't even know how to say it, but, well.
I'm going to be the one that takes it there.
Okay, that's what it
that's
is.
That's what she said. Oh,
oh God. And our first awful.
Yeah. Hey, and a nice segue into oral hygiene. Like, they still find time to brush their teeth
which
while
is a
they're
very
at the girl's
nice,
house.
Which was a very nice and adorable scene.
And
I really liked
it. It's basically like saying, hey, kids, even when all your family's dead, still take
brush
care
your
of
teeth,
your teeth.
Please.
Which I felt was very responsible of them, and I appreciate that. Thank you for taking care of the youth.
After they had ransacked
yes,
the girl's
they'd stolen
candy
his
drawers.
Dead girlfriend's blankets as well.
Yeah.
And I think they, I don't remember if they stole the car that was at her house or they kept taking
no,
the car.
No, they kept the station wagon, the initial station wagon they stole.
And after they're done brushing their teeth, Ben gets really excited. He's like, check this out. And he opens the back of the car and he shows how much room there is. And it's kind of showing how you take pleasure in the simple things now because they have this big empty space in the back of the car where
yeah.
they can lay down and they can sleep and they're protected. And it's a moving enclosure because while they're at the house, Mickey wants to stay at the house.
So he doesn't want to stay at that house. He wants to stay... Is it that house or is it the next one?
I think he wants to stay there.
But Ben was like, no.
Yeah, Ben's like, no, dude. You know what happens? And this was really funny. Is Ben says, you know what? We're like sharks. Because sharks are the ultimate survivor. You know why? Because they keep moving. No, sharks aren't ultimate survivors because they keep moving. They're ultimate survivors because they're fucking sharks. And they can eat everything... in their path.
Got it. Got
you know,
it.
Nothing fucks with a shark. What, a whale? Okay, so like, but whales are slow.
I don't even think a whale would fuck with a shark.
I've seen lions take down elephants, so sharks can take down whales. But still, his idea is that they keep moving and they won't die.
That's the idea, yeah.
So,
That's Ben's survival plan, it seems.
They start talking about how they'd already spent 3 months at some house somewhere. I have it written in my notes. I don't remember the name of the location. But they spent 3 months at some house, and I'm guessing it was with Mickey's family, you know, because he was like, we spent 3 months in that house, and what happened, you know? We, like, had to resort to eating dog food, you know, and then we ate the fucking dog. I killed the fucking dog,
right,
Mickey, and
right.
we ate the fucking dog. He's like, your mom and your brother were in that house, and now your mom and your brother aren't in that house. And, yeah, so they're basically saying that bad shit went down when they stayed in one place, but they don't really tell you what the bad shit was.
Well, yeah, so they... I think their last post, Ben talks about it a couple times. Where were they that they posted up the last time? That it was at the stadium?
I don't remember them saying it. Did they say something? They stayed at a stadium?
I'm gonna sort of go forward in time.
Okay.
The bit that Ben tries to get out of his...
That was at the house that they stayed in for the 3 months.
Okay, that was
they
the
did
house.
That there.
Gotcha. I feel like, for some reason, I felt like at some point they were trapped in a stadium, but I could be wrong.
Maybe. If they did, I totally missed that. And I first time I watched this, I watched it with my wife, so, you know, she talked through most of it. I love you, babe. And
my wife never talks through movies, ever. Like, not once. Doesn't ask questions about the plot during the movie.
That just means she finds your movie stupid and she's not interested.
Is that what it is?
That's what it
Shit.
Is.
Shit. And there's my beautiful wife now, pregnant wife, no less.
And then bringing us beer, thank you. And so while we're on the topic of beers, and we're going to be drinking the whole time, we're drinking the Stone 14th Anniversary Imperial IPA, because it's Stone Brewery's birthday.
And you said that was Imperial, like
EMP? So it's got something to do with the military, I'm sure, like knocking out electronics or some shit. But
okay.
Either way, we're gonna get crunk.
But you forgot to say why we're drinking the 14th anniversary. Because
it's our birthday.
It's our birthday.
I said that. You just don't listen.
No, no.
Yes.
Oh, I don't listen.
You don't listen. Listen to the podcast. See, you don't listen.
Well, you said it. Okay, whatever.
Okay. So, all right, well, salud. Dude, there is so much head on here. Way to ruin a great beer.
No, yours is great.
Oh, you did
mine is
good.
Fucked up.
Good.
Yeah, that's how I treat my people at
Jorge
my house.
Likes to give himself head. So...
Where were we in the
okay.
movie? My goodness.
So, yeah, they were at the house. They're like, we should stay. And then they left. And then it goes really weird. Because we've already seen Mickey's a fucking creep anyways.
Yeah, he definitely is a creep.
And so they're talking about how they can't stay.
Oh, shit, you're right.
No, shit, exactly. They leave the house. And then it's like a close-up of what I can only assume is Mickey taking a shit in the woods.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that had to be put in there. But that brings me to an interesting point. Do you ever see them with toilet paper at all? They have all of their earthly belongings with them. And, and I know that's not really something to nitpick about, but why would you show a guy taking a shit if you're not at least going to have like a roll of toilet paper hanging from your backpack?
I would say that is a nitpick. I would assume that being at a house, they probably would have grabbed some toilet paper.
No, because he was shitting. Well, yeah, but if you're going to show a guy shitting, you should at least...
him wiping?
Yes.
Is that
yes.
What you're missing the wiping
if
part?
If you're going to show the oral hygiene, at least show the rectal hygiene.
The rectal hygiene. Ah, yes.
Okay, so...
Goodness gracious.
After this... wow, this is a winner from the beginning.
Right. I'm going to leave these long stretches of laughter just in
there.
I'm going to say fuck
this
it.
Is the first one. Fuck you. This is trial and error.
Okay. Focus. So they leave the house.
And then it's the fake zombie scene that we were saying.
The fake zombie scene.
And you were starting to talk about the walkie-talkies.
I was talking about the walkie-talkies, and now I'm gonna derail. Was Mickey in the car by himself? Was that before
that
or
was later.
After?
That was later.
That was later?
It's in my notes.
Okay, so we'll
it's
get there.
It's chronological.
Okay, we'll get there when we get there. So they find a set of walkie-talkies.
Right.
And Mickey, no, rather, was it Mickey or Ben? Ben finds them, but Mickey changes out the batteries.
Right, Ben
working.
Finds them at the house they were at.
Right. So Mickey is making the walkie-talkies work, and they stumble on a channel that has people chattering.
Well, they test the walkie-talkies, and then Ben says he's going to take a shit, and then he farts into the microphone, and it sounded really wet. It sounded like he did, in fact, take a shit in his pants.
Which he may have.
He may have.
Because who knows what they eat.
Right, but then they stumble upon the channel, like you said, and it's some creepy old dude saying, like, come in, Annie, come in, Orchard. And then Annie comes on the walkie, and... they're talking about somebody wanted to pick a movie for movie night because it was his birthday. So
right.
While you're out shopping.
So she's basically on a supply run is what it seemed like.
Right. And he tells her to pick up Tremors, the movie Tremors, which has Kevin Bacon. So it's a great film.
Right. Automatically.
Automatically. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm only doing this podcast so I can meet Kurt Russell someday. So
is that
Kurt,
where that's the goal?
That's my end game. So
you just said Kurt, like you think you're like you think he's actually
hey,
listening to this. For
I've
a
got
fun.
Kurt Russell tattooed on my forearm. I feel like I could be on a first name basis with the dude.
You should
so,
be. I would think
Jack Burton, if you hear this, come on our show so I don't have to do this anymore.
Once we get Kurt Russell on that,
yeah,
set,
we're done.
We're done.
So if this is a fucking awful podcast, spam Kurt Russell, tell him to come on and end the suffering. So
for you guys, because I'm having a great time.
So, okay, yeah. So they want to do this movie night, and Mickey gets all excited, and he's looking at Ben, you know, kind of like a puppy who's like,
can I?
And Ben's like, go ahead. And Mickey says, hey, you know, this is Mickey, and, like, I'm with my buddy Ben, and we're out here.
We're baseball players, which is really weird.
Yeah, you know, like, he's just trying to say that he knows how to handle balls. And
I guess
with Ben being the catcher, he would be the one that knew how to handle balls, right? Which is funny because Mickey kind of struck me as the catcher. Just throwing that out there. But, so Mickey... Mickey's talking to these people, and he's like, you know, where are you? Like, we're here in, I don't know if he said Vermont or Virginia, but he's like, you know, we want to join you. Help us. And they want nothing to do with it. The guy's
right.
like, you know, we ain't got no vacancy. Shove off, hoser.
Basically,
you know.
Lose our fucking number.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And Ben understands, like, dude, they don't want to be found. Like, we're not invited to the fucking party. And Mickey's like, but, you know, he sees... the hope that, or he sees the future that he's hoping for. He sees the normal life. He sees that there's women around and panties to be sniffed and, you know,
more
batteries for his shitty emo music. And
not
but,
to say there's anything wrong with emo.
No. It's emotional music. So, and that's, Annie, or when they're talking and he's trying to get him in, the dude that's on the walkie-talkie says basically, like, get off this channel, Annie, you know the rules about talking to outsiders.
Right.
So they have rules. Like, they have set rules. They're like a very organized society, it would seem like, or at least a group.
One would almost say a government with a governor. But, you know, that's just me talking shit a little bit.
Stunning parallels.
A little bit. But we'll get to the Walking Dead parallels a little
later. To the babibidabibidum.
Yeah. So, So essentially, after they find the walkie-talkies and after they get in contact with these people, they're on their own. Yet again, nothing's changed.
And Mickey has his first breakdown of the movie. Like, his first just completely emotional, nervous wreck breakdown.
Why don't I remember that? What happens?
That was, I'm totally brain farting. It was before they're at the back of the car, and Ben's sitting there with his gut hanging out, like, eating SpaghettiOs out of the can or whatever. And,
While they're still on the road. Before the house.
Yeah, they're still out, and then... No, this is after the house. This is after they find the walkies.
I'm talking about the second house.
Okay, yeah, before the second house. And, you know, Mickey's like, you're the only person I know that can be, like, walking for days in a zombie apocalypse
and get fatter.
Fat. And he's like, dude... he's like...
That's so good.
He's like, I'm a catcher, man. Like, hey. That and he's the bear. So, like, he's supposed he's to be the big one. Dude, with that beard is fierce, man.
That was a great beard. I was a little bit jelly.
Which is kind of odd because, like, for however long they were out, like, they're all really remarkably, like, clean and, like, you know, their hair's a little sweaty, but they don't have any cuts or scrapes or bruises. Well, I know that's nitpicky. And it's like
I think Ben is on the dirtier side of those two. Oh, Mickey, however...
He's really embracing being feral, you know, and he's embracing just living off the land and just doing what he has to do to survive, and Mickey still wants to go shop at Abercrombie and Fitch. So they're, like, having this talk in the back of the car, you know, and he's trying to reach Annie again, and Ben's like, dude, you're stupid, you know, and he's like, I'm a realist, you're romanticizing the situation, you see this super sexy post-apocalypse chick with guns on her waistband.
Yeah, I see a 40-year-old. Giant titties. Yeah.
He's like, I see a bull dyke, you know, gym teacher. And he does say bull dyke, I'm not being a dick or anything, but he does say
bull
dyke.
This time anyways.
Yeah. Not that I mind being a dick. So it shows that, you know, Mickey has this fantasy that he wants to fulfill. And
he
Ben
wants his
is,
tank girl, basically.
Yes, and Ben is just doing what he has to do, and then... Like, they at this point, like, they start fighting like a married couple, you know? Mickey hears the guy say no vacancies, and they go to the hotel, and he opens the room, and then the zombies come out, and Mickey runs like a girl and hides in the car. He's like, a mouse! And
that was the first time that we see Ben trying to get Mickey to kill a zombie, right?
Well, no, he did it in the basement before with the gun, you know, and Mickey's shaking, and he can't do it. But
that was the second time, then.
This is the first time he calls him out about
it. Right.
He's like, you know, come out here, like, do it. This motherfucker ate your brother, and, like,
oh, he's
this
like, ate your brother, ate your mother, yeah.
And, you know, like, they start
that
fighting.
That was a great scene.
It
was a great scene.
Because you understand, like, the level of tension between them, and Mickey starts, like, you know, being more of the wiener, and Ben's like, you know, come on, and Mickey's like, you have to fight everybody, man. And he's like, yeah, you know, I do, Mickey, goddamn it, because they're zombies.
Right.
So... They do that little scene, and then out of nowhere, there's a dick in your face, because Jeremy Gardner decided the most awesome thing he could do in his movie is just steal a scene out of Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and just go butt naked in a waterfall, screaming with his dong flopping about.
Which is fine. I don't have an issue with it. I've seen many a dick in my life.
I guess we've been blessed with boobs in horror movies for so long, it's only time we get slapped with the dong.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because we're as a quick side note, we were watching VHS 2. I mean...
You watched it already.
You can think what you will of that movie, but Ronnie was like... Dude, what is up with all the boobs? Where's some dick? And I'm like, I don't know, man. That's just horror movies. Like, we like some boobs. We don't like dick.
There's been a lot more dong in horror movies these days. Not that I'm a big fan or anything, but...
You're okay with the dong, I think. But
now that we're on the subject of dong, this is the scene you were talking about earlier where we find Mickey alone in the car.
Oh, right. Ben is taking a shower, as it will be. And Mickey's in the back of the station wagon listening to music, as he is wont to do. And a female zombie kind of smashes up against the side of the car.
While he's listening to Portishead.
Was that Portishead?
Might as well have been.
Probably is. And fucking Mickey just decides that this is the perfect time to start jacking off. Yeah. And just
starts banging weenie.
Just really going at it. Like,
to be fair, that was one hot zombie. Like, there was something like that vacant look in her eyes and like... There's something maybe
got that crack whore look.
Yeah, you know, she had that red mascara or something underneath or whatever. She was kind of banging, and then I ain't even gonna lie, them titties. They had her in like this super thin white t-shirt where she's just like rubbing her boobs up on the car window. And I mean, the only thing that separated this from like an 80s hair metal video was like the sudsy water, you know?
Okay.
So he's sitting there and he's just
going at it.
Yeah, he's just flogging the dolphin. He's like,
bleh. I don't think I've ever jacked off that furiously ever in my life.
No, not at all. Well,
maybe.
Yeah. But so he's about to finish, and all of a sudden there's this huge splatter of blood and guns along the window.
Yeah, Ben shoots her in the fucking cabeza.
Yeah, so he wastes bullets again because her back was to him, so
yeah,
he could have
used the bat.
Yeah. So he...
And he sees Mickey full on, right? Like he...
Yeah, he... Well, see, you don't know to what extent, but I'm liking to think that Mickey's got some kind of something about Mary situation going on where he's got a load hanging from his ear and like Ben's sitting there laughing at him and Mickey's embarrassed and this is when shit just gets, like, really weird between them. Because they, like, don't talk to each other. They don't even want to look at each other. They go into, like...
It's a while.
Another one of these 10-minute montages where they just basically don't talk. There's music playing in the background, but it's just really dead between them. And
this is where they get to the second house.
Yeah, they're looking around. And they actually get to, like, a cabin that's locked or something, and they won't go in there. And I'm like, why the fuck do you think somebody's going to call the cops? But...
Yeah. Maybe zombies inside or dead inside. Yeah. Blah blah blah.
But then they get to the second house.
The second house, which I think the start of when they get to the second house, and up until they leave the second house was probably the best part of the film.
Right. Agreed.
I think it was the best put together scene or a couple of scenes in the whole film. They get to the house, and they're rummaging through. I think they find a couple cans of food, what have you, but really the main thrust behind the main idea behind the scene is that Mickey is very adamant about staying in the house at least for a night.
Yeah, that's kind of like when he has his second breakdown. He comes storming in. And he's like, "We're fucking staying the night."
Yeah. Well, dude, he gets all tough guy. Yeah.
And Ben's like, All right, dude.
Okay, bro.
Calm down, tough guy.
Yeah. So they end up deciding to stay the night, and like 30 seconds later, Mickey's frantically looking around for his
headphones.
His headphones and his Walkman. And searches for him in his backpack, goes around, and then eventually comes out and sees Ben
wearing the headphones
listening to music.
And I think this is probably my favorite scene
in
the entire
movie. And it's a great scene because Ben basically tells him, like, okay, well, if you wanted to stay in the house, that's your decision, but now you're watching our back. You're going to be the one who's going to be taking care of us, and I'm going to be listening to music. Good luck.
Yeah.
Which is essentially, you know, it's I think it's fair.
Yeah, and Ben basically, he tells him, I'm not going to give you your shit back until we leave tomorrow. And Mickey gets pissed, and like a little kid, he throws a tantrum, knocking over the Monopoly set, you know, you know what? Fuck you. There's spoilers in this. This is a spoiler, so if you don't want to hear it, don't listen for the next, like,
minute 38 on, listen.
Don't listen for, like, the next 30 seconds. But there's a little bit of foreshadowing, because after Mickey flips over the whatever the fuck Ben's working on, Ben says, I'm going to shoot you in the fucking face.
He does say, doesn't he?
He does. That's true. I'm going to shoot you in the fucking face. And I didn't really pick up on that until the second time through. And if you can't figure out what happens later.
Yeah.
But,
and we won't actually spoil the ending.
No.
We'll leave that one to people who who watch. We may even cut out that shoot you in the fucking face part. I don't know.
We'll see. I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see how we feel.
Because that, I mean, that, like, I thought was a really important part, you know, because they're like, I'm going to shoot you in the fucking face. And you don't think that, you think he's just kind of mad at him, but right. When you realize what happens later.
So at this point, Mickey gets all huffy and goes to bed. He goes,
and he cries in bed.
I'm going to go to sleep. I'm talking walkie-talkie.
Yep.
And he gets a hold of Annie, and Annie basically tells him to go fuck himself. And
yeah,
you know,
she I actually have a bunch of notes on this part. Mickey says, "Anyone? I don't know how long I can do this."
For future reference, don't say I have notes. Just go with it.
Hey, there's bullet points. You know, I want to convey the important part of what happens.
But yeah. Just pretend like you're knowledgeable and don't need notes.
Okay, so Mickey's like, you know, I don't know how long I can do this. Like, somebody, anybody, please. And I don't know if he's referring to, I don't know how long I can go on, like, living. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. How long. I had a feeling he was going to kill himself.
Yeah, I don't know how long I can go on trying to find a friend or salvation. So finally, you can tell that he feels like he's trapped, like he's a rat. And he goes on, like, finally Annie comes through and Annie's like, you know, talking to him, and she's like, they would throw me over the wall if they knew what I was, that I was talking to you. So once again, you assume that it's some kind of civilization,
some
where
sort
they
of
can
little
be,
colony,
right?
Some sort of Walking Dead, respite, if you will.
So, and then Mickey goes on, and he's like, you know, like, I'm alone. And she says, what about your friend? And this is when you find out that Ben and Mickey were never really friends, apparently,
which is rough because you like. I feel like Ben is you know, very into them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I feel like Ben values the friendship a lot more than Mickey, which is kind of weird because Mickey needs Ben a lot more than Ben needs Mickey. Like, I don't feel like Mickey really does anything for Ben, but I feel like Ben saves Mickey's ass all the time. You know, and so he's like, oh, he was a starting pitcher or a starting catcher. I was out of the bullpen. And finally, Annie says, and quote, I didn't press this button to gab like schoolgirls. For your own good, change the fucking channel, Mickey.
Yeah.
So she's basically like, know in your head and just fucking drop it.
Yeah. So, and that leads into what I feel for me.
The theme song.
The theme song, but also the climax of the movie. We have the theme song, or rather, not necessarily the theme song.
I feel like it's the theme song.
It really feels that way. It's
our intro song for this
episode. It's our intro song.
But I feel like before you get to where you're going, you have to address what was happening when that song was playing. What happened was it showed Ben, and he had his headphones on.
Mm-hmm.
He had the gun in one hand. He had a bottle of booze in the other hand. And he's listening to the headphones and singing along. And at the top of his lungs, and he's dancing throughout the house.
You know, it's funny. Initially, I thought it was Ben singing.
So did I.
At first, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like,
yeah,
that
dude's
cool
got
touch.
A great voice. Yeah. But I feel like that's a really important scene as well, because it shows that Ben is not just this, like, cold-hearted, you know, take-care-of-business killer. Like, he still does enjoy the simple things. He still does want to have fun, you know, and he's taking this time to let loose. And I don't know if that's because it's like he's expecting Mickey to be on guard, or if he's just drunk and he's like, fuck it, you know.
Right.
But
well, there's definitely a component to that because, you know, he's drinking, and it's funny because I don't know what exactly made the decision for him to do what happens in the next scene. Like, is he drunk and he just sort of had like a revelation, like, okay, this is what I'm gonna do right now?
And that, yeah, that's weird because he hears the noise when he's got the headphones on,
right?
Which actually shows that even while he's letting
he's
his guard
aware.
down, he's still on guard.
So the next bit is Ben wrangling up a zombie, a Zed, if you will.
Who was tied up? Like, who tied him up?
Who was tied up? Maybe I think it was him. I think he went out and hunted.
So you think he heard the noise in the night, found the zombie, tied him up,
and
waited until morning?
I think that's what it was.
Okay.
Because he wanted to give, while he wanted to, you know, well, let's get through the part and then I'll talk about what I'm saying. So essentially he has a zombie and he shoves him, the zombie, in Mickey's room, which forces Mickey into either killing or being turned. which he kills a zombie, whatever. It's you know, if we're ending, you know, that scene right there. Like we were saying, I think that he wanted to give Mickey the best shot that he could, because if, you know, he was going to shove that zombie in there at night, there was no way.
Yeah, but even still, like, doing it while he's asleep, that kind of catches him really off guard.
Yeah.
I mean, the zombie could have been on him by the time he woke up.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm assuming the bat was in there, because Ben says, I've seen you swing the bat, use the fucking bat.
Right. So what ends up happening is Mickey struggles for a bit with this zombie and eventually kills him, but just fucks him up.
Obliterates him.
Just like he comes out and he's like I don't know, for lack of a better word.
He looks like fucking Christian Bale in American Psycho. He's just drenched
totally.
In blood. Well, John Leguizamo as Christian Bale in American Psycho. But he's covered in blood. And he starts going through like this robot like malfunctioning phase where he kind of like shakes when he walks.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, like a fucking jittery T-800. And he walks out into the woods, and he kind of just, like, has his third breakdown, and Ben's kind of like, hey.
You had it coming.
Quit being a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, you did it. You took care of business. I'm proud of you.
I will say this. I think the buddy cop scenes that follow after that, where they're, like, getting along.
It's really weird.
It's really strange, yeah.
Because, essentially, Ben tried to kill Mickey.
Essentially. You could say that, yeah.
You know,
totally.
He could have tried to, like, get him the mana, but essentially he tried to kill him. And, like, if somebody tried to fucking throw a zombie on me while I was sleeping, I don't think I'd want to go fucking picking apples with him, which is actually what they do. They go picking apples in an orchard.
Yeah, and that scene, the apple orchard scene, was actually really cool. Like,
I felt it was a little drawn out, but yeah, it was really cool.
I thought it was, like I said, you know, if we're talking buddy cop scene, I think it was really well done. Like, they had their time to, I know, for lack of a better word, reconcile, because, you know, there's some tension between them, and now that Mickey has a kill under his belt, Ben's not quite so resentful towards him.
Well, see, and Ben was, earlier in the movie, like way earlier, there's a scene where Ben wants Mickey to play catch, and they're going to work on Mickey's curveball. And, you know, so they just had this little scene where they're playing catch, and, you know, Mickey finds a scratcher that's worth $1,000. He puts it in his pocket.
Yeah, and he goes, you kept that.
Yeah, and it kind of shows that he still thinks things are going to turn back to normal. And Ben is like, you know, that $1,000 is, you know, fucking useless.
It's worthless, yeah.
And then he's like, let's work on that curveball. And Mickey goes, what good is a curveball going to do me? And he says, it's baseball.
It's fun.
We like baseball. It's fun.
Yeah.
So it shows that they still, like, Ben still has things that he loves too, like the music. But then after Mickey's first kill, they're playing catch, and Ben says, this is the sorriest game of catch I've ever played. And then he proceeds to cheer Mickey up playing catch. And I think the catch is really important, because then after that, they start doing things that they wouldn't do. Mickey never wanted to learn how to fish. After that, he learns how to fish, which is kind of weird. Because
it was really like an 80s montage.
Yeah, a bromance 80s montage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then they go on about that, and then they go to the orchard and have their little play date. And then this is when shit really starts to hit the fan. They leave the orchard, and they find an abandoned car
right
in the middle of the road.
Which they're attempting to siphon fuel out of.
Yeah.
And it's Mickey who notices that the engine is still warm.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, heaven forbid, before they go right to the fucking gas tank, they look around and just be like, maybe we should check and see if anybody's hiding. So, yeah.
God, that scene was tense.
Yeah. Ben starts
Holy
siphoning.
Shit.
Mickey starts. He feels the engine. He's like, it's warm. And Ben kind of looks around. He pulls the hose out of there. And seriously, less than 3 seconds after Mickey goes, it's warm, they show Ben, and then it goes back to Mickey, and there's some dude with a knife to his throat.
Right.
A guy named Jerry. And actually, another cool fact is the four main characters in the movie were all named after mice. Like, famous mice. There's Ben from the movie Willard.
Okay.
Mickey Mouse.
Okay.
Jerry from Tom and Jerry.
Okay.
And Annie from, I guess there's books called Annie Mouse.
That was a little bit of a stretch for them, I think.
Yeah, but, I mean, I feel like you probably could have found a female mouse. But still, that's a cool
didn't
thing.
Did Jerry like, have, like, a female girlfriend whatever. Doesn't matter.
Whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah, like you're saying, Jerry has the knife up to Mickey's throat, which of course Mickey couldn't fend off a dude with a knife.
And he looked like he was seriously petrified. I mean, I know it's a scary thing, but like the look on his face was almost comical.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I really wanted him to shit his pants. Is that a bad thing that I wanted him to shit his pants?
Well, yeah, no. And I think like, for
just Jerry to go, what the fuck's that smell?
I think for anybody listening to this podcast, which, you know, could be anywhere from zero to whatever.
Yeah.
I think for their sake.
Yeah, it's probably closer to zero.
I think we'll probably.
Hi, Mom.
We'll probably avoid spoiling the next, I want to say, half hour of this movie. Because it's one of those things where we've said a lot, but we really haven't spoiled the heart of the movie.
No.
And I don't want to do that for anybody. We could definitely do like a director's cut if you want to keep bullshitting about this.
I see. The thing is, I don't know how we can talk about the rest of the movie without ruining anything.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think we are, we're close to an hour here that we've been bullshitting.
I think we can wrap it up in the next
editing part. Will yeah.
What editing?
Yeah.
I think we can wrap it up in the next like 15 minutes, and we can still talk about the whole movie.
Okay, I just...
Fuck it, we're putting a spoiler disclaimer.
Okay.
Because so this is our first episode.
So from here on out, spoilers.
If you don't want to know basically everything that happens in the movie, then stop listening.
Stop listening, go watch the movie.
And then come back.
Come back and listen. Because okay. it's going to be worth your time, both yeah. listening to us and watching the movie. So go. Anywho, continue.
So, you find the car... Homeboy's got the knife to Mickey's throat, and he basically says, I want the keys to the car.
Right.
And Ben doesn't really want to give him the keys.
He does not.
Yeah, Mickey's freaking out. I wouldn't want to give my fucking keys anyways, especially because Mickey's like a burden, you know? He's like the anchor holding you down. So he's like, I want your keys. You know, I'm going to Arizona. And he's like, I'm going to slit this motherfucker's throat. And Ben's like, No, you're not. Yeah. You're not going to do anything. And he's like, you have no leverage, you know? And I have a gun. And... So he's like, and what's in Arizona? He's trying to pump this guy for information and find out, you know, as much as he can. Because it's survival, you know. If you can get an edge, you want to get an edge.
Yeah. So, and in the sheer stroke of brilliance, I think Ben is amazing. He goes, I don't have the keys.
Right. Nice. And dude, that's smart thinking. If you're going to survive in a zombie apocalypse, you need that kind of smart thinking.
Yeah, it was brilliant. So Jerry basically goes like, well, give me the keys. And he goes, I don't have them. And back and forth a couple of times, and he goes, they're in the car.
They're in the ignition.
Just let him go. I'll drop my gun, and we're good to go.
but then Jerry agrees, but then Jerry's like, but give me the gun.
And then he's like, yeah, no.
Ben's like, fuck you. Yeah. Like, I would rather shoot you both right here than let you take both. Like, that's ridiculous. And I feel like that kind of shows how little he values... Mickey's life. Like,
I wouldn't go that far.
You think he's calling a bluff?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely calling a bluff. I think that at the end of the day, I think nobody wants to kill another normie.
But what happens in a couple minutes?
It's true.
So getting to that. Okay, he says the keys are in the ignition. Let him go. You can take off.
And he throws the gun away.
Yeah, he does.
Or he just he puts
the gun on the
away.
Ground or something. He takes it out of his hands. So Jerry lets Mickey go. Jerry gets in the car. And as soon as Jerry gets in the car, you see Ben pull the keys. No, he pulls the keys out of his back pocket. He's like, yeah, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And Jerry's like, fuck. And rather than doing anything, Jerry gets out of the car, takes off running into an open
field. Because
he knows.
I mean, at that point, he's fucked.
And at this point... Ben shoots him in the back and kills him in cold blood.
Pretty tough, but I think given the fact that he had already shown that he would be willing to, you know, have a knife up to somebody's throat, that...
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like I feel like Ben contradicts himself because Mickey, you know, of course, he's the emotional and he's like, you know, the guy was just trying to see his family. And Ben's like, you know what? I want to see my fucking family too, man.
But they're all
like,
dead.
I understand. They're all dead.
Yeah.
Like, my family is dead. And he's like, and I want to see my family, but I'm not going to take somebody's livelihood to do it. But instead, he just took somebody's livelihood without the promise of seeing his family.
Right.
Like, does that seem... Because it's not like he just shot him in the back. He shot him in the back and then he walked like a good 10 seconds to where he was, and then he just like stood over him desperado style and just
popped him in the head.
Yeah, blasted homeboy. So, and then Jerry's dead.
And Jerry's dead. Poor Jerry.
I find it funny that they actually went through like the trouble of naming him within the theme, and then he was in the movie for all of like 3 minutes.
Yeah. Which was, another great scene. I almost want to keep saying like this is my favorite scene in the movie, but
it's a fucking great movie.
It's a great movie. There we said it.
Yeah.
So essentially, what happens next is Jerry's dead. They're attempting to collect themselves, get back in the station wagon, and get the fuck out when they see another truck heading their direction, or another vehicle, rather.
Yeah.
Another vehicle comes. Driver stays in the driver's seat. Young lady steps out with a gun. Gun? No, she didn't have a gun.
Before she even gets out, she gets on a PA, and she's like, are we friends or what?
Right.
And he's like, I don't know, are we friends?
Sure, I guess.
And she's like, we're just here to pick up our car, man. Like, we're not trying to start any shit. And,
right.
You know, they're like, okay, cool, we're friends, yeah.
So she gets out of the car and is basically like, hey, we need to pick up our car. This guy left. I think she even said he killed a couple of people or something like that.
She said he was a thief.
A thief stole the car.
But the weird thing, yeah, they say, where's the dude? And he's like, oh, he's dead, and they're like, what happened?
He got bit.
Yeah, he got bit, and we had to take care of him. And she's like, okay, well, the car is what we came for anyways. And they called him a thief, and then, you know. So they're like, all right, well, go on your way. And then suddenly Mickey recognizes her voice, and he goes, Annie?
Oh, and he goes, Annie.
Yeah.
Oh,
even though she told him, like, even if this wasn't Annie, she tells him, like, hey, back off, dude. Just, like, cut
your
losses.
Just the worst.
Yeah.
I hated Mickey. I wanted to slit his throat.
Right? Yeah, Ben should have just let homeboy do it, man. But, I mean, it's a lonely road, I guess. And so he goes, Annie, and she goes, excuse me? And he says, you're her, right?
Trying to give him a shot. Trying to give him a chance.
Yeah. Says, you're her, right? And as soon as he says, you're her, Annie shoots Ben in the leg.
Right.
Not Mickey. Not stupid fucking Mickey. She shoots Ben. And I think it's because she knows Mickey's a giant bitch and Ben is the only one that can defend them.
Right. Right, right, right.
So
Ben's now shot in the leg. And yeah. Jesus Christ, because... it's so annoying.
Yep, Mickey.
She takes off with her driver and leaves them there.
Yeah.
And they get in the car.
But the thing before that was she took their keys. She's like, I can't have you following us.
Yeah.
Took their keys. And
tossed
them
in the grass.
But before she threw the keys, she said, are you watching? Are you watching? And she made sure he was following the keys.
Right.
She didn't want to just leave him to die.
She didn't want to kill him. She just wanted to
tie them up a bit.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was an important scene because it feels like she, like, kind of doesn't go in with what her whole commune or whatever believes. She still has, like, empathy for people.
We could call her Juliet if we really wanted to.
We could.
We would.
We're
say
not gonna. We're gonna call her the bitch that shot Beardy
Ben in
the leg.
Juliet ass Ua. Anywho. So what proceeds to happen over the next 20 minutes is, essentially they get stuck in the car surrounded by
Ben's
zombies.
Like, we'll get the keys in the morning. They sleep in the car, wake up.
Yeah. They wake up and there's just hundreds of Zeds and there's no way for them to get the keys. The next 20 minutes of the movie is just torturous.
It's actually a half an hour. Out of a 101 minute movie, so like an hour and 40 minutes, a half hour
it's
of that.
Torturous. It's torturous, yeah. Watching them in that car. And
but
they just.
It's
just,
brilliant.
Yeah, it really
like,
is.
Just the amount of time they spend in the car, just like, you know, you start to realize, like, this is going to be their tomb. Like, the whole movie, they had just the entire world that's just open, like, space that they could do anything and everything, and now they're confined to the tiniest little spot. So they spend the last half hour in the car.
Yeah, just I don't want to discuss it too much, but the scenes in the station wagon are just it's amazing.
Yeah,
it really is. They go through, you know, trying to save water, trying to eat.
Yeah.
The whole bit.
Trying to maintain sanity.
The whole thing. Like, they get drunk at one point, which is sort of like the last hurrah for Mickey and Ben.
I feel like that was kind of Ben, like, liquoring Mickey up so he can manipulate him to do what ultimately happens.
Yeah.
And I mean, you could see the toll that being in this car takes on them. Like, there's a point where Mickey, like, tacks up blankets everywhere because he's like, I can't stand to look at their fucking faces anymore.
Yeah.
And even Ben cracks. At first, he's like, oh, their moaning sounds like rain on a tin roof. And then later, he's like, shut up. And he fucking punches the ceiling and the dome light falls out.
Yeah.
And I felt like, I don't know if that was intentional or not, but I found a lot of meaning in that scene because I feel
like... Well, and then Mickey goes, he goes, like ran on a tin roof, huh? And then he just reaches up and fixes the light.
But I feel like it kind of showed, and I don't know if it was intentional, and hopefully Jeremy Gardner will respond to our Twitter request.
At some point, Jesus.
Yeah, and talk to us.
God.
But I don't know if it was intentional, but when the dome light fell down, I felt like that was kind of a way of signifying, like, this car, which was so awesome to us, it held everything that we wanted, even that is now falling apart around
us.
Everything that was awesome and that we held dear is now crumbling around us.
Yeah.
So, basically, they're in the car, and then it gets to the point where it's like, we're going to fucking die in here.
Yeah, so it gets to a point where there's no other choice except for, last-ditch efforts.
Yeah.
Which basically means one of them getting out of the car, searching for the keys, and getting back. Which obviously isn't Ben, because he's got a shot-ass leg. So Mickey's bitch-ass has to get out of the car and go search for keys. Essentially what happens is Ben's sort of sitting there, just kind of twiddling his thumb for about 4 or 5 minutes. I think he is really, really thinking about killing himself.
Ben
is at that point.
Wait, you mean after Mickey goes out in the car?
Yes.
I clocked it. It's actually 7 minutes.
Okay.
And that, like, is really... 7 minutes, okay, it seems like a relatively long time in terms of a 110-minute movie. But when you consider that for 7 minutes, you're just watching Ben in the car...
doing nothing.
Like, just trying to, like, kill time... as his best friend is possibly being torn to shreds, like,
and best friend lightly. I hope you're saying best friend very lightly.
It's his best friend at this point. He has no other friend. You know, he states earlier in the movie, "I'm the only person you know, Mickey." Period.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's kind of like one of those scenes in a comedy where somebody just keeps repeating themselves over and over ad nauseum, and it, like, at first it's funny, and then it's not funny, and then it gets really awkward, and then it gets funny again because it's so awkward. It's like, I feel like at first it's like, you're like, okay, this is a little nerve-wracking, what's going to happen? And then you start to get really tense, and then you're like, well, fuck, nothing's happening, it's taking forever. And then it gets to be so long that you get really panicked, and you're like, something is going to happen, god damn it, let something happen.
And of course, they break the tension with Mickey, where the fuck are you?
Yeah,
by the way.
Mikey. Stupid Mikey.
Mickey comes back to the car, and of course, the dumbass is bit.
Yeah, he won't even talk to Ben at first.
Yeah, but you can see it. You kind of see it when he comes down. You can see that he's bloody. And either he killed something, which is probably not the case, or he got bit. And obviously, he's fucking bit.
See, and the shitty thing is, before Mickey went out, Ben told him, Mick, if you don't find the keys, don't come back.
Right, just go.
And Mickey says, I'm not leaving you here.
Not only does he essentially leave him, but he comes back with the potential of killing Ben in the car.
I don't know if that was like his ultimate revenge or what, but that's really fucked up. Yeah. It's like, you know your friend has no escape, and you get bit, and it's like, I'm going to become a fucking zombie, and I'm going to try and eat your face. Your face if you're lucky. And
probably dick.
And I'm gonna come back in the car, and I'm gonna fucking just trap you. So guess what, son of a bitch, you have to do something now. But luckily, it wasn't Ben that was bit, because Ben would have fucking slaughtered Mickey in the car.
Yeah.
But,
so what happens in the next couple seconds after that is essentially Ben kills Mickey.
Fucking shoots Mickey in the face. Like he said,
right in the fucking face.
He wastes no time.
No, he doesn't. I think he 30 seconds like, and he was like,
it was 30 seconds. And he pulled the gun out after like 10 seconds. There was like 20 seconds of hesitation.
Because he told him to get out and get out and get out and get out.
Get the fuck out of the car, Mickey.
And then he did not. So, you know, Ben took care of business. And what happens subsequent to that is Ben sort of mans up and decides to do...
He gets on the walkie.
He tells homegirl to watch out.
Well, he says what happened in the house.
Yeah.
He says, you know, we were trapped in that fucking house for 3 months and blah, blah, blah. And finally, we couldn't take anymore. So what we decided to do was we just opened the front door. And there were so many of them that tried to pile through the front door.
But they couldn't make it, so they went out the back door.
We went out the back door. Right. And he's like, that whole time... The answer was as simple as that. We could have just easily walked out the fucking door. And he's like, so I'm going to try it one more time. And if it works, or if it doesn't work, I'm going to put a bullet in my brain. And if it does work, I'm going to put it in your brain. And
yeah, he's talking to Annie. Which is a great, great scene.
Holy fuck, that was a good scene. Like, I mean, whether there's a sequel or not... Whoa, that's a lot of beer. There's a little more in there. Whether there's a sequel or not, you feel like shit's gonna go down.
I would feel better if there wasn't a sequel. It's one of the things about the movie where I'm like, okay, cool. I'm glad that there's not a definite ending. We don't know if Ben survives it. Whatever. It's cool. I love it.
Yeah.
I think so. At the end of the day. I think my critique of the movie...
There was two small things I wanted to mention. Mm-hmm. First, like, when he left, he put on the headphones, like, Mickey's headphones, when he made his escape.
Right.
Like, so clearly the escape worked because it shows him walking down the road with the headphones on. So I feel like that was a really powerful scene, and I don't know if it was, like, too... honor Mickey. I don't know if it was because Ben was now withdrawing
himself. Did I miss something?
No, he opened the hatchback of the car and it's all blinding. He's got his hand up. And then it shows him walking down the road and the zombies are behind him.
What?
You didn't see that?
Hold the fuck up just a second.
Yeah, so...
What?
While George is looking this up, so he opens the back of the car and it's like a blinding light, you know, and then it shows him walking down the road, like really slowly with his...
No,
with,
it doesn't.
I bet you anything.
What did I miss?
This is what I'm going to address in a second, the baseball scene. But okay, pulling down, cat. See, you might have got to... Oh, well, either way. So he's walking down the road and he's got the headphones on. And I feel like that's a really important scene
because I cut before the credits started.
Oh, well, whose fault is that?
That's my own fucking fault. What the fuck?
Okay, rule number one of a horror movie, you always watch until the end of the credits, dude.
Okay, so we're watching it this very second.
And by the way, we bought this, so I know you have problems with piracy, but we bought this. Good job. So he's walking down the road, and I don't know if him wearing the headphones is like an homage to Mickey. That's like him withdrawing into himself. I don't know if that's his way of hiding. Like, you missed that, so you have no fucking input.
I have no idea what's happening.
Thanks a lot.
What the hell?
Apparently he's watching it right now, and he and his wife have never seen this. So I feel superior. Ooh, that's some nice titty there, Beardy Ben. I like the way you got that low-cut shirt. He got out.
Son of a bitch.
He got out.
I apologize ahead of time and behind time for not seeing this little bit.
Yeah, you should have.
He made it then.
Hey, at the Battery Movie on Twitter, find out how to get a hold of Jorge and tell him how he fucking failed.
So, no, you know what? I'm gonna say it's not a fail because
you didn't see like the most important part of the movie that he actually survives the escape.
No, I think that's what's the best part about it is because if you just see this, if you just see Ben, leaving the car just yet,
it leaves that air of suspense. But he's got his headphones on right now.
He's already got the headphones on.
So the whole time he's planning, he's doing the escape.
Right here is where I thought the movie ended.
Oh yeah, because it cuts to the credit right here.
Right.
Which I didn't even really know what the fuck was going on.
Which I thought was fucking brilliant.
Until the second time I watched it. Then I was like, okay, I understand what's going on now. Yeah. Congratulations. I blew your mind on our first
totally
podcast.
You totally did. You totally fucking did. Holy shit.
But the one thing I didn't get, and this is like my final like critique on like the actual movie, is like, see, they said they filmed it with six. There is clearly like 30 fucking zombies in that group. Yeah, yeah. God damn it, Jeremy Gardner, you're a liar. Filthy liar, and you won't come on our podcast, but I'm gonna get your makeup guy on our podcast. But there was the part where he was talking into the walkie-talkie, and he was pulling apart the baseball.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't really understand why he was pulling apart the baseball. Especially because he finally gets down to the little like rubber ball that's at the bottom of it, and he like holds it in his hand like, this is my solution. Like, this is what's gonna get me out of here. This is the fucking key to the car. And then they don't show why. Like, why he pulled out the
ball.
Yeah, why the ball? I mean, I don't understand if like deconstructing the baseball is like signifying like the deconstruction of the battery, you know, of their unit, or if it's supposed to be symbolism, or if there's some kind of like actual, I'm trying to just keep talking until Jorge gets back from taking a piss. But so like, get your goddamn microphone and tell me what you think, because I don't know what to make of that.
You're right, and I don't understand what the point of unraveling the baseball was. I really don't.
Yeah.
And they spend literally
30 minutes in the car. Oh.
Not 30 minutes. I want to say like 2 minutes of him unraveling the baseball.
Yeah.
And what was the point? I can only think that it was purely a symbolic gesture. Was, I'm unraveling the battery.
Okay.
Which makes sense.
Like, half of the battery may not be there, but there's still something solid in here. Like, he's the core of the battery.
The core of the battery.
And Mickey's just kind of the
makes me really
bullshit.
Cringe when I just said that, but I think that's...
Oh, hey, that's a science joke, or a science pun at least. The core of the battery?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We can now put, like, different tags on our podcast. We can now call this a science podcast.
A science podcast.
Fuck yeah, we're branching out. So, all... Okay, well, we drank a lot, and I feel like we had a fun podcast.
I had a great time.
I feel like the length is good, too. That's what she said.
We'll be edited down to probably, like, 30 minutes.
I feel like the awkward giggles make it worthwhile.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, I feel like we touched on some good shit, ultimately.
So, out of 10, what would you give it? And I'm not even talking horror movie. I'm just saying film.
No, all around. I'm incredibly nitpicky, and I hate everything. I'm giving this a solid 8.5.
This is true.
It's true. I'm giving this a solid 8.5. I felt like this was a brilliant film. I felt like, even despite the $6,000 budget, they did a lot with what they had, especially with such a bare-bones crew. I felt like there were some of the scenes, like in the orchard and stuff, that could have been trimmed and brought this movie to about like 85 minutes, which would have made it a little more easily digestible. But ultimately, I felt like this was brilliant in a time where zombies are just completely oversaturated. They put zombies as an afterthought and focused on the human struggle. And I feel like this is really the kind of relationships people would be having in a zombie apocalypse. I don't feel like it would be bang, bang, shoot 'em up. Like,
I agree.
Exactly. So.
And given in a world where we have movies such as After Earth,
which have
$200 million, $300 million, $400 million,
where complete shit.
We're just complete garbage. We have movies that are made with literally dirt that are incredible.
Yeah.
So I think the podcast is going to be signing off in just a few seconds here.
Don't pirate this shit. Seriously, buy it.
Even
if you don't buy it,
rent it. Yeah.
They spent $6,000 on it. You know, this isn't Hollywood spending fucking $40 million, $50 million, $100
million. Mm-hmm.
This is a group of people your age spending $6,000 to make a brilliant film.
And it's one of those things where $10 makes a huge difference for
and
them.
That's if you buy it. Yeah. You can rent it for 3 days for $4. So do something, support them, give them love on Twitter, at The Battery Movie on Twitter.
Get one of them to come on the podcast and do an interview, please.
Send Jeremy Gardner at The Battery Movie on Twitter messages telling him, go on Who Goes There podcast, it'll make your career.
Jeremy did not respond to us, but it's cool. It's cool. Matt Smith is a little bit pissed off about it, but
I am. I feel like when I talk to celebrities on the internet, they should answer me.
Anywho, this is the Who Goes There podcast. Signing off, episode one, first birthday.
I'm Matt Smith. May the wings of liberty never lose a feather.
Jesus Christ! And this is Jorge.
Oh, but.
Hitting the record button.
By the way, I'm going to squeeze a Big Trouble in Little China line into every podcast.
Of course you would.
That's the Wings of Liberty. So, there you go.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.